produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Is brought to you by Josie's Inspiration Radio Network USA World, produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Network USA World. USA toll-free callers 1-310-742-1858. Again, that's 1-310-742-1858.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm well. Good morning. How are you?
I am fantastic. Fantastic. Okay, everyone, this morning, this afternoon, whatever part of the world you're in, we're going to have a hot, steamy topic. This topic is going to be one topic that the church does not want to talk about, does not want to address. But Alicia and I are going to tackle this morning. I'm going to come from a parental minister perspective. She's going to come from an educator perspective. And we are going to talk about sex. We are going to talk about sex, sexuality in our communities. And whether you're black, white, green, yellow, purple, orange, sex is a topic that sometimes is a hard topic for people to tackle, for people to discuss. And for so many years, we have put sex on a back burner. We've all done it. Well, not everybody, but most of us have done it. And we don't want to talk about what we've done. And from a minister perspective, the Bible says everything that God created was good. So we are going to talk about sex, how good it is, how good it can be, how good it can be.
How good it's supposed to be.
Yes. And if it's not so good, how we can make it a little bit better. So first of all, let us go to God in prayer. I think we'll need the prayer before we start this interview.
Heavenly God Father, first in everything.
That's right. Heavenly Father, as we come to you, we just thank you and praise you for all that you are. All that you're doing in our lives, Lord God. Open our heads, open our hearts. Allow us to be educated, Lord God, in what Miss Andrews has to discuss with us this morning, Lord God. We thank you and praise you for her and just for her being who she is, Lord God. We ask that you go with us and guide us through this interview, Lord God. May we be a blessing to the Christian community and to every community, Lord God. We thank you and we praise you in advance. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
All right. Miss Andrews.
Hi.
Give us your background. I know we went to the same college, North Carolina Central University in Durham,
yes.
North Carolina.
Eagle Pride.
Yes, Eagle Pride. But so tell us where you're from, what brought you to North Carolina Central, and your major, I know, is public health. And
yes.
If I could say your concentration was sexuality. So
yes.
Tell us all about it. Tell us everything.
Yeah, so thank you for having me and interviewing me and opening up this discussion, which is one of the forefronts of my passion of normalizing this conversation and talking about it, right, and making sure it's okay to talk about sexual health and sexuality. But again, my name is Alicia Andrews. I am a what I dub myself as the public health sexologist, and yes, sexologist, which is the study of sexuality. I am originally from Aiden, North Carolina, and that is in Eastern North Carolina, so I'm a 252 baby, just born, raised, and proud. Raised in a rural area, small town, country girl, and North Carolina Central University, kind of part of my legacy. I have an aunt and a cousin who attended, so it became a very influential moment for me, particularly between these two women, ladies who had a huge influence over my life, and they loved their college experience at North Carolina Central, and I fell in love with mine. Like a lot of us, we turn into nursing majors, go out there like, oh, we want to help the world. I want to be a nursing major. Didn't work out like that, and I was introduced to health education department, and that is where I pretty much excelled my passion with sexual health and sexuality. And excuse me, that was at that moment that I learned that I could help people, but they didn't necessarily have to be in any type of pain, or I didn't have to wait till they got to the hospital to help them. And that was a huge part that intrigued me about health education and public health. And another piece of a personal piece of that was that the people, the professors in the department were so personable and as well as very disciplined when it came to us being serious about the profession of health education and public health, and for us to understand the absolute need and the importance of having health educators in this world. So I started off being that person that my passion around sexuality and sexual health is that I've always been that go-to friend, right? So from high school that I can remember, for some odd reason, I had friends that always come to me, ask me about sexual health questions. And we were teenagers. You know, we were growing up. Our bodies were changing. We were feeling things. We wanted to experience certain things. And I just happened to be that person who was kind of open and free, and I didn't seem to be too embarrassed to talk about anything. So that's how my passion developed in that area personally. And for some reason, when I got into the research of it, I was like, okay, adolescent health, sexual health, we need to talk about this stuff. Our community is constantly being plagued with sexual health disparities and other disparities that impact our lives, from STI, sexually transmitted infections, HIV infections, unintended pregnancies, sexual abuse, sexual violence, any of those number of things that impact our body in a way that hinders the growth and the positive development of our sexual wellness. So that's when I began really.
Oh, well, I was going to say, well, fantastic. Now,
yes.
The positions that you have held, I've watched you grow on Facebook because I love my baby eagles. And
yes.
I've watched you grow. So tell me about the last two positions you held. And if you're uncomfortable, you don't have to give the agency's names. Just tell us what you did with those agencies.
Yeah, so before I got to these agencies, I actually accomplished having attaining my master's in human sexuality education. So that allowed me to be a huge asset to one of my previous agencies with Wake County, with their 4-H youth development team, and I worked as a health educator. And my teammates affectionately dubbed me as the sex ed guru. So I was their go-to girl, and that allowed me to work with youth across the spectrum from 5 to 18. I created and implemented our sexual health education program and brought in some new lesson plans where I was able to align the need for integrated sexuality education into positive youth development, because that was something I realized that was missing. And then
well,
after
you have
that,
a very important word. You said the word need. Tell us about how the church and, as most people say, or people say, typically the black church, can begin the conversation about talking about sex to our children. And as a parent, I have a high school student, a middle school student, and an elementary school student. So how can I begin to, yes, my life is busy. So how can I begin to have that discussion with my children?
So the number one thing is to be absolute open and understanding and honest, say, hey, I need to have this conversation with my children, and that this conversation is necessary, and this conversation is just about life, right? Our society has made this topic of sexuality and sexual health so taboo, and, oh, it's so wrong, and, oh, my gosh, this is private. This should be kept behind closed doors. But when in actuality, you need to normalize this thing, because when you're having conversations that is taboo and kept behind closed doors, you're really oppressing people, right? So,
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I believe that the number one thing is that the parents, the church folk, as I like to say, should just be open to having a general discussion when it comes to a child being curious about their body and what they are going through and what they are experiencing. And many times children, young people are overlooked in their experience to say, oh, well, you're just a child. You know nothing about this, or it's just a phase. You'll be okay, you know, and that's, in a sense, oppressing them to be able to express themselves and figure out what's really going on with their bodies because, you know, young people, like you say, you have elementary child, it seems like you're across the spectrum, right? And your children are experiencing
all
different stages of development, right? So whether they're going through puberty, they try to get their growth spurt, whether if their interaction with their friends are changing, the dynamics are changing, whether it's the older kids are becoming a little bit more independent from you, all of that has to do with their sexuality. And the biggest misconception is that when we're talking about sexuality and sexual health, older people are going to automatically think, and I said older people as in adults, are going to automatically assume that we're going to talk about sexual activity, how to have sex, and the sexual behaviors. And sexuality is so much greater than just your sexual behaviors and the act of having sex. So just being open to having a discussion, period. And
so
the next thing
is being
knowledgeable.
Yes, being open, honest, and knowledgeable.
Correct.
Okay, so it sounds like to me the education about sex should begin after the child comes into the world. And as a parent, I've noticed, that the children, as babies, begin to play with their genitalia. And so that's when the conversation should begin. And as you said, if you begin those conversations at, you know, 2, 3, 4, and as they go and grow, then the conversation will be normalized. And I think you and I were talking the other day, and we said that it should be table talk. Just like you ask them about school, you ask them about schoolwork, you ask them what's going on in your world. When they begin to ask questions or tell you things, make it quote-unquote normal so that they aren't fearful of having a conversation regarding sex around you, correct?
Correct. And a lot of adults really get, as they like to say, get your panties up in a bunch because they don't know exactly what to talk about, and then they don't know how far it's going to go. But one thing about it that we know is with young people and how they think, they may have just one particular thing on their mind, right? Because you see little videos where you have toddlers coming up to the parents, like, how are babies born? And they come up with this fictional story about the stork or whatever. And it's usually because
or the cabbage
they
patch.
Like, whatever. Like, or the God put the baby in the chimney and the baby was whatever, however the baby fictionally came to be, right? And it is important to make sure that we are factual about the information that we give, because we don't want our children growing up talking about the wrong, different body parts in a wrong way. And we want to make sure that they are able to express themselves and talk about it, particularly dealing now in the era where sexual abuse has been there, but it's been exploited more, right? It's been exposed more often. So it's very important to make sure that children are aware of their body parts and the proper names for those body parts if somebody crosses that boundary in that manner. But it is extremely important to say what, if they ask you a question, give them that particular answer. Don't go around the mulberry bush. Just answer their question directly. And because children's attention span, they're not going to come with a, they will come with some follow-up questions that depending on what age it is. But typically, if you just give them that cut and dry answer, they're done for the day, right? Because some parents feel like, oh, I'm supposed to have this dissertation about sexuality prepared whenever my child comes to me and asks me this question. But it's just like we're going to make this, it should be that making it a part of your normal conversations and just being prepared. And when your child comes up to you and asks you a particular question about their body, if something is changing or if their experience is feeling, or if they realize that, okay, how they may identify themselves maybe a little differently than other people. But it's just for parents just to be ready to have those conversations. And as a sexuality educator who is a full supporter and advocate to have comprehensive sexuality education across the lifespan, so from the time that you're young to the time you're old, right? Society just kind of put it that, oh, you're a teenager, that's when you need sex education. But everybody needs sex education, from the preschool babies, from the young people, to the older people, to people who are professionals working with other people. Sex ed should be for everybody.
Yes, and that was the next topic, age group I was going to ask about is our senior citizens. So my concentration has been in geriatrics for my undergraduate experience, and I'm really concerned about the sexual education that the senior population did not receive as they were growing up. So because they did not receive the same sexual education that I received, there's some things about sex and protecting yourself and preventative care that they don't know about.
Right. So with that, as you spoke with the elderly population, like they're going through the stages of development, right? So they're going through some transitioning at this time, whether they get into the point where they may need a little more assistance, if they are transitioning to, if they've been in a long time marriage and maybe their spouse has passed away, so they have this new life where they're living on their own, if they're in a nursing home, whatever it is, but it just shows that we're all sexual beings and it does not stop when you become older, because we have seen increased STI rates among elderly populations over the past decade or so, where they are being exposed more to gonorrhea, those treatable diseases like gonorrhea and chlamydia, and even some of the untreatable diseases like herpes, where it's showing that elderly people say, hey, I'm still alive, I still have this feeling, and I want to be pleased, right? But because they've been in those long-term marriages and over those times where healthy sexual health practices hadn't necessarily been taught to them throughout that time, because condom use wasn't a thing, right? Particularly if you're married. Very few people are going to use condoms, especially if you've been married over, five or six decades or more, right?
Mm-hmm. So, know they can't get pregnant, so.
Right, exactly. So that's the number one thing. So people know that, okay, if I'm using condoms, that means that I'm either using it to protect against pregnancy or to protect against STIs. So they already know, oh, well, I'm old, my reproductive system, I'm not going to produce any babies, and which if an older gentleman is sexually active with a younger lady who is still able to reproduce, the older gentleman definitely can reproduce a child, right?
An
older lady who may not be able to reproduce, but you might be, everybody's body is different. You don't know who's pumping out eggs still at what age or what have you.
You know,
but you never know.
So it can happen, you know,
right? So they aren't even necessarily thinking about the diseases, right? They just think, oh, I can't get pregnant. And then also, who has access to condoms in nursing homes if they're in nursing homes or assisted living homes, right?
Exactly.
Or even if you're staying at home by yourself, is your grandfather or your grandmother or your older auntie, are they heading down to the pharmacy to grab condoms? Not really, because that's not a part of
everybody. No.
Right. They're not. That's not necessarily a part of their norm, right? And even if they are older, most likely they are religious and a part of the church. So the church didn't teach them about protection and that you should do this.
Mm-hmm.
So they're going to do what's natural, and that's going to be to not use protection. And that's what ends up exposing them, as well as it's known that the older population, that they're actually having younger sexual partners. So these younger sexual partners are being exposed and infected with these sexually transmitted infections and coming to these older partners and exposing them to it, right? So this
now,
is where you have the age gap that's crossing the lines and causing the increased infections and exposure.
Yes. Now, I asked you, I noticed since we've been on the phone call during our conversation that you have used that you used sexually transmitted infections. Now, what's the difference between the sexual transmitted infection and the STDs, the sexual transmitted diseases?
Right. Good question. So it's pretty much like, as we like to say, term of the times where things start to evolve. And of course, way back when, this was also known as the venereal diseases, right?
So then it changed
to sexually transmitted diseases. And can't remember around the time frame of which the language started to shift again when we started to say sexually transmitted infections. But if you think about it, you have some of them that are infections, right? So those of gonorrhea, chlamydia, these are infections that people have because they can be cured and treated, right?
And then
you
so
have
it's an infection if it can be cured and treated.
Correct.
Right.
And then you have one that may be on the disease spectrum that is essentially a longer-term medical condition in a sense where it can be treated but it's not curable. So like with HIV. HIV is preventable, so making sure that none of the body, sexually body fluids, so vaginal fluids, sperm, breast milk, blood, and anal fluids as well, because people like to enjoy anal sex, nothing wrong with it. But these are the body fluids that transmit the HIV disease, right, or virus. And you also have herpes, HPV, hepatitis. These are what they're considered diseases, something that you can't necessarily get rid of, but you can treat it to where it can be suppressed, that you can manage your life and live a healthy life.
And still have a healthy sex life.
Exactly. And that's also another misconception to say that with people who may have HIV, who may have herpes, to say, oh, like they're barren. They have some type of X on their life, and they're not supposed to have any type of sexual pleasure because they have been exposed to this disease in whatever way that it happened. And that's not true. You know, when people are educated properly on proper sexual health practices and being able to communicate with their partners about their diagnosis, if they feel safe to do so, but making sure that they use protection and people can have healthy sexual practices and healthy sexual lives with or without certain infections and being exposed to certain diseases and living with and managing these illnesses.
Okay, now let's swing it. We did the parental perspective. As a member of the church and as a minister, how could I approach my church? Should we have a safe sex space for our children, for our adults, for even for our married couples? Because there are some married couples who are unable to communicate with each other what they want, what they like. You know, I might not like to have my neck kissed. His beard may come across my chest wrong, and I don't like that.
How about it?
So
let's talk about it.
Okay. Yeah, we need to have a safe space also for married couples as well. And the marriage bed is undefiled. So I have always believed that whatever both partners and I noticed I said married, and
yes.
You and I had that discussion about husbands, spouses, partners.
Right.
So, and from the spiritual perspective, and I know I'm going to eventually have to step out of my comfort zone because
mm-hmm.
the man that comes to church with the woman every Sunday might not necessarily be her legal husband, you know, have gone
mm-hmm.
down to the courthouse, but may just be her partner, and that's what they
right.
are comfortable with. So I'm going to have to step
right.
out of my safe space. But for right now, I have a husband. So,
okay.
So they say that the flirtation and foreplay actually begins before you get in the bed.
Yes,
so,
as it should.
And yes. Okay. Go ahead and expound on
whether
that.
If we're talking from a married couple, but we're going to talk from happily healthy relationship couples, right? Because being a sexuality educator, I want to make sure that the conversations
yes.
that we have are inclusive, right? So if
yes,
I'm coming from a standpoint
yes,
where
yes.
I am addressing the audience and it may seem that I'm just directing my conversation to married couples, like you spoke
mm-hmm.
of, it could be that couple in there that may be in a long-term partnership or a newly dating couple or what have you, that they may feel excluded from that conversation because they don't necessarily hear their title or their label, right?
Mm-hmm.
So starting off by having these just blanketed inclusive conversations to say, hey, this can go for any and everybody, married couples, dating couples, what have you. And even though we know
mm-hmm.
we're being cautious and we're talking about the church and say, oh, no sex before marriage, sorry,
mm-hmm.
everybody doesn't make it there sometimes. I don't think you're
yeah.
going to blow up in flames or anything because you didn't make it to that point. But it's to make sure that whatever experience that you have, that it's a completely healthy experience, right? And for whatever
yes,
reason,
physically and emotionally and mentally,
all of those pieces should be completely connected and it should be healthy. It should never be one-sided. But the church should definitely be open to have these conversations, to have these workshops. You have some of the churches that I've seen that do have couples workshops or marital workshops, but I'm not sure how far it goes. Like, do they actually talk about pleasure? Like you said before,
mm-hmm.
the foreplay should start way before you get in the bedroom, okay? The foreplay should be whether if you text in your honey bun throughout the day and you have a little sexy conversation with them, getting them in the mood, and when they come in the house, you have on something nice and sexy for them or whatever the case may be, whatever they like that you prepare
mm-hmm.
for. Or having an intimate moment to, you know, in a traditional heterosexual relationship where the woman is assumed to be in the kitchen and the husband just getting off of work or waiting for dinner to be
mm-hmm.
done, where
mm-hmm.
that partner who's waiting for dinner to be done, you can go in there and help your spouse. If you're not in the way now, ask them if they need help first.
If you're not in the
that?
Way.
Okay?
We are from North Carolina. If you're not in the way in the kitchen.
Okay, exactly. So, well, if you go in there, if you see your honey bun in there cutting up the onions or washing dishes or something, but you come up behind them, kiss them on their neck, rub on them or something like that, just give them, just to make them feel, to bring out that sexual beingness, you know, to make that person
mm-hmm.
feel flirtatious, to give the hint, like, okay, I'm ready for this, right? So
yes.
it's like building up to that main event, and whether that main event is going to be in the bedroom, the bathroom, the living room, wherever, right? We don't know what your space is like. And understanding that
yes.
that main event of having sex and your sexual experience doesn't necessarily have to be in the bedroom, you know, change it up a little bit. But it's
yeah, location, location, location.
Okay, let's change it. So it is important for the church to let these married couples know, hey, it's okay to be spicy with your spouse. And it doesn't necessarily, you don't have to be, quote unquote, approved because you are saved and sanctified. That's cool, right? You're saved and sanctified, but you can get down and freak it at the end of the day. And you still like to have fun with your spouse or your partner.
Exactly. Now, we've talked about foreplay. Now, let's
yes.
talk about the orgasm.
Okay. The big O.
The big O.
So what
O.
we want to know about orgasm is that everybody should
is
have one, right?
Okay, good. Because, you know, traditionally, it's usually the man comes, gets what he wants, and, you know, the woman is just there. So expound right on how that is not supposed to take place.
Right. So I like to say, whatever relationship you're in, whether it's a casual, romantic, married relationship, and you decided, okay, it is time, we're ready to have sexual intercourse, out of course, whatever, the main goal of that experience should be that both parties are equally pleased. It should not be a one-sided pleasure, right? So normally people are thinking, okay, sex has been had and it was great because the male has ejaculated. And that is the end of that. Oh, great. He has ejaculated. He came. We can close, cut the lights out, roll over. Good night. It's over with, right?
Go to sleep.
But if you think about female partner, if that person has a female partner, was that female partner stimulated in any way? You know, did you hit her erogenous zones, meaning those zones that are sensitive to the touch that give you a little tingly feeling, whether if it's on your neck, your stomach, your breast, your knee, the back of your leg, any of those pieces, the inner part of your thigh? Did you connect with any of those
different places?
Right, exactly. So that's when people think about sexual experiences and sex, they just thinking they just have the genitals involved, right? The vulva penis, right? And then if the woman has breasts, then you got the breasts involved, right? But you're missing all the other pieces of your body. You're missing your fingers, your arms, your leg, all of that, right? Your back, whatever. It's so many different places on your body that are sensitive and that will arouse you even more during that experience that can help boost that climax and your orgasm to a whole different level, right?
Oh, so, my goodness. Okay, Alicia, our time is running out. We've gone over time, I think. And this lets me know that this is a conversation that we need to have again. And what I want to do is to have you on from time to time just to talk about public health. And Alicia has just started her new consulting business, and she consults with different agencies and individuals and groups as well about sexuality. And the other thing that, and as you grow and as your business grows too, I would like to have you on a regular basis. And I'm sure you're also participating in ongoing research. And as you get new statistics in, keep us updated and abreast with what's going on in our community. And not just with sex and sexual health, but also with other areas of our life, especially areas that typically, as you mentioned before, hurt and harm the Black community, not only with sex, but also with our heart, with diabetes, with premature births and miscarriages in our community as well, and just with basic healthy eating. I would love to have you on a couple of other times, too, throughout the year, just regarding the different aspects in the public health arena, because there is information out there that we need to know about. I had Tara Colton on a couple of months ago, and she talked about our mental health, and that too is important as well. So we're going to pray out. Thank you so much, Alicia Andrews, for stopping by to visit with Carla and the Pearls of Wisdom. So I hope you all have gotten some pearls of wisdom today. And we just thank you so much, and let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you for our conversation with Alicia today, Lord God. Thank you for opening our heads and our hearts, Lord God. And thank you, Lord, for letting us realize that there are different aspects of sex, and we need to have healthy sexual lives and healthy sexual relationships, Lord God. We thank you and we praise you. Lord God, please continue to touch Alicia and bless her upcoming and upgrowing business, Lord God. We thank you and we praise you once again. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Awesome.
Now,
thank you,
Alicia,
so much.
You, You are welcome. You're welcome. Now, you mentioned your website will be up next month. Give us all your new website address.
Yes, so we are, the website is under construction. I am working with a wonderful marketing and branding person, Premier Branding, who Travis Bailey, who's helping me to get everything together. This is an adventure that I'm working off of, but right now people can reach me on my personal email. That is alandrews.se@gmail.com. I can be found on Facebook, Alicia B. Free Andrews, and B. Free is together, which is also the name of my independent health education sexuality business, which is B. Free Wellness Education and Consulting. And you can reach me there, send me an email, but after August 1st or so, you should see the email address or the new email address and the new website and all the information about the services that I offer to the community, to different professionals and agencies out here to educate and train them on how to be more healthy, sex-positive individuals and who can lead those healthy and enhancing, normalizing conversations around sexual health and sexuality.
Thank you so much, Alicia. I have grown to just love you and adore you. Thanks for everything. And we will have you back on this show later this year. All right, everyone. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Good day.
Produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the Internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S., or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.